Radio Prague News.
The Social Democrats do not for now have to pay a lawyer 338 million crowns, the Supreme Court says. The president has signed a law enabling the blocking of unauthorized betting sites. And the Slovak Prime Minister will visit Prague Wednesday in his first foreign trip since being reappointed. Under a Supreme Court ruling, the Social Democrats do not for now have to pay lawyer Zdeněk Altner 338 million crowns, Idnes.cz reported on Tuesday. The court found in favour of the party, which argued that such a payment before an appeal is heard in the matter would threaten serious detriment to its rights, and suspended the enforceability of a previous court ruling. It's not possible to appeal Supreme Court verdicts. Earlier this year, the Social Democrats were ordered to pay Mr. Altner an outstanding fee and interest in connection with the lawyer's representation in a case surrounding the party's headquarters. President Miloš Zeman has signed a law tightening the regulation of the betting industry. The bill gives the Ministry of Finance the power to block selected websites, which critics say represent censorship of the internet. However, Finance Minister Andrej Babiš says his officials will only use their new powers to order internet service providers to block sites offering unauthorized gambling. For their part, internet providers say such actions would be expensive and mean increased charges for their clients. The Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico is set to visit Prague on Wednesday in his first foreign trip since being reappointed in March. Mr. Fico and his Czech counterpart Bohuslav Sobotka are expected to discuss energy and transport issues, as well as plans for joint events in 2018 marking the anniversaries of the foundation of Czechoslovakia in 1918 and the Soviet-led invasion of 1968. The two will attend also a summit of Visegrad 4 prime ministers. The Slovak leader had been due to come to the Czech capital in April, but the trip was postponed for health reasons. The Czech National Bank intervened on the foreign exchange market to the tune of 11 billion crowns in April in order to combat the growing strength of the Czech crown, according to figures it released on Tuesday. This brings to 530 billion crowns the total amount the central bank has spent on euros since November 2013, when it first intervened in a bid to keep the crown at around 27 to the common European currency. Last month, the board of the Czech National Bank said it would probably maintain its weak crown policy until at least the middle of next year. The ombudswoman says her office has found shortcomings in many cases involving agencies tasked with child protection. Anna Shabatova said on Tuesday that 142 complaints linked to child protection agencies had been received in the last 2 years. Malpractice was discovered in 77 of those cases. Most frequently, this involved inaction, insufficient work with families, over-eagerness to take children into care, and splitting siblings up. This year's Prague Museum Night, which takes place on Saturday, will feature 80 museums and galleries, the organisers said on Tuesday. Though some important institutions, such as the National Museum, are closed for renovations, the number of participants is up by 6 on 2015. As every year, the museums and galleries will be open from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. and admission will be free. The only exception is the National Monuments at Visegrad, which will charge a symbolic 1 crown fee. Free transport between the venues will also be laid on. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news. Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, prominent names have signalled they'll stand for Czech president. But with the elections a year and a half away, it's now a good time to put one's hat in the ring. The first jackal has been recorded on Czech territory, and one Prague district wants to become the arts centre of the city. Well, that's coming up in today's programme. Czech-American economist Jan Švejnár, business and musician Michal Horáček and others have signalled that they're considering running for president in 18 months. For the moment, only a little-known businessman has officially thrown his hat into the ring. But is this a good time to declare one's interest in the presidency? Jan Wellinger has more.
In 2018, Czechs will directly choose for only the second time in their country's history their president, either Miloš Zeman for a second term or someone new. The president has said he will only announce his intentions of whether to run next year, but potential challengers will likely have had to have made up their minds long before then, given the substantial resources direct campaigns require. Economist Jan Švejnar and lyricist Michal Horáček both told the press in separate interviews recently they were weighing their options, but neither has taken a final decision yet. Michal Horáček said this on Czech radio.
Today, I think I should take the step. It depends on public support, but it's also a question whether there is another interesting candidate whose opinions I share, who would have a better chance.
Speaking to Lidové noviny, economist Jan Švejnar suggested if he ran, it would be because, in his view, the current president was continuing to push policies which were damaging the country, pushing the country east. But many op-eds and blogs in reaction were skeptical such a tentative or wait-and-see approach is the right way to launch a presidential bid. They argued potential candidates would do better to commit properly. At the very least, presidential hopefuls will need time to gather 50,000 signatures from members of the public or find the backing of some 20 MPs or 10 senators just to run. And much more will be needed to spread recognition and build a platform for a serious bid. Political analyst Jiří Pehe.
Many potential candidates have not come to understand that the direct election of the president is really different from the parliamentary election and changes also the way that the candidates should go about declaring their candidacy. I personally think that telling the public that, yes, I may run if this other person runs or if the situation in the country continues to worsen and Miloš Zeman keeps pulling the country towards the east and so on, it's not the right way to go about it. I think the public wants a candidate who really wants the job, and the candidate has to tell the public, I think I'm the right person for the job, and build his team and prepare a good electoral campaign.
There is time yet, of course, to potentially launch a successful bid, but not as much as one might think. Jiří Pehe again.
It seems to me that this is hugely underestimated by some of the candidates. Of course, some of them, for example, Mr. Michal Horáček, who have enough money and resources, can weigh it a bit. But those who do not happen to be millionaires or billionaires, they really need to start building their campaign quite early, at the end of this year or beginning of next year at the latest.
Political scientist Jiří Pehe ending that report by Jan Wellinger. A photographer has for the first time taken a photo of a golden jackal on Czech soil. What's more, the picture was taken just outside the capital. According to experts, the animals are migrating from their original habitat in Turkey and the Balkans, and sightings in the Czech Republic have become increasingly more common. Ruth Frankova has more.
The golden jackal has been spotted on the territory of the Czech Republic, mainly in South Moravia, since the late 1990s. Several of the animals fell to hunters who mistook them for a fox. The first piece of evidence proving the existence of jackals in the country was taken last year by a camera trap set in the Labe region, just 40 kilometers out of Prague. But it was only last week that a photographer managed to capture the shy animal on a real camera on the southern outskirts of Prague. The golden jackal is at home mainly in Southeast Europe, Africa and Asia, but in recent years the species began migrating towards the north and west of Europe as well, to countries such as Italy, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, Poland and the Baltic states. Zoologist Jiri Shafar says global warming may be one of the reasons the species has migrated from their original home.
The species has lived in the Balkans for years, but previously didn't move to our longitudes. So one of the reasons behind its spreading towards the north and northwest are climate changes. It is true that other species have also been moving to our territory in recent decades. On the other hand, it can also have been triggered by changes in the use of landscape in their original habitat.
Třeba využívání krajiny v oblastech toho původního výskytu.
According to Mr. Shafat, the specimen captured on the camera could have been a parent looking for food to feed its cubs, but it could also have been a migrating animal looking for a partner.
I think the jackals spotted in the Czech Republic are mostly migrating across our territory. On the other hand, the specimen in Polabí has also been captured by the camera trap repeatedly, and it must have been around for at least a year. Jackals, just like any other predators, are very careful and stay hidden, but there are places in the Czech Republic that could have been settled by jackals already for several years.
Despite the increased sightings of the species, Mr. Shafar says zoologists so far have no evidence that jackals have actually bred on the territory of the Czech Republic. The species, which mostly feeds on insects, small rodents and birds, usually tries to keep its distance from humans, and according to zoologists, the only threat the jackal could possibly pose to people is the transmission of rabies.
That report was by Ruth Frankova. And now Roots hears about one Prague district that's bidding to become the cultural centre of the city. That's in this week's edition of In Focus.
Most tourists visiting the Czech capital converge on just a few spots in the city, crowding the streets along the so-called Royal Route that leads through the Old Town Square to Charles Bridge, missing out on many other interesting places that Prague has to offer. Now, city councillors from the Prague 7 district have decided to change that. Last week, they announced their plan to become the city's new cultural district, with an alternative to the Royal Route. I spoke to one of the councillors, Hanna Treštíková, and asked her to tell me more about the Art District 7 project.
The idea came up itself, let's say, when we started to be in a board of members at the City Town Hall. I started to speak with all the representatives of the culture institution in Prague 7, and I asked them what they think City Town Hall should do for them, how it should be helping and so on. And actually the result was that Prague 7 is already art district or cultural district of Prague, but it's not organized by anybody. So we discussed what are the possibilities, and we agreed that the position of the town hall should be coordinating the institution, cooperating, and just build the project of art district that is already happening, but it didn't have any common label that Art District 7 is Prague 7.
Where did you find inspiration for the project? Did you look for inspiration in other European cities, for instance?
Well, we know that in almost every city in Europe, but not only in Europe, there are some culture or art districts. So we know that, for instance, in Berlin, there is Kreuzberg, that is so-called art district or culture district. Or also in Wien, for example, there is this Museum Quartier. So there are a lot of inspiration worldwide. We know that there are a lot of organized art districts in cities in the United States. So we were making this research on what cities have, what districts, and it's quite common that every city or bigger city has these kind of districts.
Now, one part of that project is actually creating a sort of alternative to the Royal Route, a well-known sightseeing route in the center of Prague. Can you tell me more about this alternative Royal Route?
Well, the basic idea is that the city center is overloaded with tourists, and the traditional Royal Route is so well known that it's already very touristic and it's full of people. But there is this alternative road that leads from Prague Castle to National Gallery Veletržní Palác and then further to the Modern Art Center docks. And it's a beautiful walk, and it's a shame that it's not that well known, because since it's starting in Prague Castle, then you walk through the castle gardens and then through the park, and it leads you to Prague 7, and it's like a museum mile almost. There is this National Technical Museum and National Gallery and then all the other cultural institutions. So for tourists, that they are not interested only in sightseeing, but they would also like to know more about some culture institution. It's perfect for them to walk this alternative royal route. It will help not only Prague itself, but also it can help Prague 7 to bring more tourists to its street.
Can you describe the route in more detail? You said that it would start at Prague Castle. What are the main highlights along the way?
So, of course, the Prague Castle itself, of course, it's a highlight and it's a starting point. So everything within Prague Castle could be part of the route. And then it goes through the gardens. There is this Letohrádek Svaté Anny. And then it goes through the park with the beautiful view on Prague. From the metronome is the place where a statue of Stalin used to stand. And then through the park, it leads to the National Technical Museum, that is the most visited museum in Prague. And then next to National Technical Museum is National Agriculture Museum. So there are two museums next to each other. And then when you go further, it will lead you to the Letržní palác, that is the building where modern art is based. And, of course, you are already in Prague 7, so there is plenty of other culture institutions, such as theaters or art house cinema, Bio Oko. And the end of the royal route would be in Docks, that is contemporary art center.
As far as I know, one of the obstacles in creating this route is transport, because some parts of Prague 7 are pretty busy and there are some sort of obstacles on the way, namely, I think, the Bubny station. So have you already got a solution to this problem?
Well, unfortunately, that is a big issue because this area is like one of the biggest brownfield in the center of Prague, and it's very complicated situation, so it will last a little bit longer until people can go through this zone and just walk through this brownfield. But anyway, what we are trying to develop is some kind of system of signs in Czech and in English that would help tourists to orient more in Prague 7, like where to go, how to get from one point to another point. So that should be signs in streets, and we are inspired by, for example, the system of signs in London that is very well organized.
As far as I know, you are cooperating with the Prague Institute of Planning and Development. So what is their role in the project?
Their role in Project Art District 7 is mainly building the strategy, helping us with the theatrical part of the project. So they are collecting dates, they are making interviews with each culture institution, and the result of this work should be some kind of document that will tell us what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses of the project, and some proposal what to do in the future.
You said that this sort of alternative royal route is just one part of the Art District 7 project. So what else are you planning?
Well, except the city signs I was talking about, we are also working on a map, on a touristic map that should be freely handed out at the touristic centers. And this should be the map only of the art district of Prague 7. So they get the map, they know what to see in Prague 7. And it is made by locals, so it will be full of good tips, where to go for a coffee, where to go to see a film, what galleries are on the way, and so on.
And finally, as you have already said, the district of Prague 7, namely Letná and parts of Holešovice, is already known as a sort of cultural district. And in recent years, it's become very cool to live there. Why do you think that has happened? Why is this district so attractive?
Well, I don't think there is one clear answer to this question, because I think it was somehow synergy of the institution that started here in Prague 7. So first, what was important is that the National Gallery is based here. Then the opening of Docks, the contemporary art center, is very important starting point. And then somehow it started to be cool because a lot of young people moved in and there is a lot of families living here. So the population of Prague 7 is very residential and very artistic, because also there is this Academy of Fine Arts based here. So there is a lot of artists and the studios are based here. So altogether, it started to be well known for its artistic and cultural potential.
Prague 7 councillor Hanna Trzeszczykova, and she was talking there to Ruth Frankova. If you have any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. Contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.